What is up? It is me, George G. We've got another awesome episode of the Align Money Show coming your way featuring Josh Tomioni. Josh is a CFP and a financial advisor who's been at it for multiple decades. He's also a men's coach, helping men to pick up the pieces of their lives after divorce and other traumatic events. We had a great conversation that, of course, started with two truths and a lie. And then we got into helping people, specifically men, find community where they are comfortable having uncomfortable, difficult conversations, helping to navigate all the different emotional and the shame that goes along with going through the loss that happens with divorce. Ultimately, the goal is to help individuals, to help men become the best possible versions of themselves. And that's just not easy to do without a track to run on, without a little bit of guidance, without somebody there to say, hey, I got you. I'm here for you. I'm going to help you get through this process. We finished with an awesome difference-making tip that I know you're going to love. Let's go. Josh, to get us started, give me two truths and a lie, please.
George, I was really excited about this. I actually prepped this, which I normally won't do. I'm normally kind of a spur of the moment type of guy, but I was like, oh, this is a great question. I love it. So here's the three. You ready?
Yes.
I've acted in an off-Broadway play. I've met Johnny Cash.
Ooh.
And I got married in Vegas by an Elvis impersonator.
You're right. These are excellent.
Those are good, aren't they?
Yes. They're super fun. Okay. I always like to write them down. So you acted an off-Broadway play. I'm certainly not going to rule that out because you seem like an emotive person and could certainly see you on stage. You met Johnny Cash. Wow. And you were married by Elvis Presley in Las Vegas. Whew. Man, I'm going to say that you never met Johnny Cash.
I did. Tell me about that. Young. You want to hear the story?
Yes.
So I was about 10, 11. I don't remember the exact age. I actually have a picture. I'll send you a picture of
Please.
It later. Okay. I have a picture of me and my parents and Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash.
Oh, awesome.
So they came when Johnny Cash went through his kind of gospel time and near the end of his life. And he started singing a bunch of gospel and kind of becoming more religious and everything else after he did all the other things that he did during his life. He was speaking at some sort of like a religious camp or something that my dad was volunteering at. And they came and spoke and sang a song. And I had no idea who he was at the time. And now I look back at that picture with just great admiration, the fact that I got to meet, like, now one of my heroes. So.
Well, that is awesome. Okay. Well, which one was the lie?
I have not acted in an off-Broadway play.
Okay. Have you ever thought about doing it?
I've acted. I've definitely never done it. Like, I would consider off-Broadway, like off-Broadway, New York off-Broadway, right? Not like my kid's play or whatever.
Right.
So I've definitely done some acting. You know, I have an actor's page up on, you know, the same place everybody else has an actor's page. I just haven't done much with it. I've been a lot more focused on just videos and everything else that I do for myself, like most of us, you know. But yes, absolutely. The answer is yes. The answer is once I figure out how to prioritize that time above, I would love to, because I love being on stage. I'm very, like you said, emotive. Maybe even some would say mildly flamboyant, especially for a straight white male. But so, yeah, I love that whole scene. So, yes, I would love to do more of that.
Super cool. And yeah, technically anything that's not on Broadway is off Broadway, but
it is technically.
It's kind of like how every movie is filmed in outer space because we're all in outer space. But
yeah, it's true.
Anyway.
It's true. Yeah, I guess if you went really analytical, have I ever acted on a stage? Technically, yes, I have.
Right. So you were married by an Elvis impersonator in Las Vegas.
I was. Yeah, I was. That's something that not a lot of people know, and not a lot of people are know unless they've read the book that has just come out, because I talk a little bit about it in there.
Okay. Now, was this a spur of the moment thing, or did you know your whole life that you were going to get married by Elvis Presley in Las Vegas?
It was a spur of the moment. It was during a very wild period of my life where the person and I that did it kind of did it as a joke, honestly. Like, some people are going to hear that different ways. You can judge me if you want to judge me. It was just one of those things that we did that was a lot of fun and made for a great story and some great pictures, honestly.
You are a man with exceptional photographs floating around for sure.
I do. I do. I could never become, I could never go into politics. I'll just say that. There's enough incriminating photos of me out there that it would be too difficult.
I think that that's probably true. And it could be that moving forward to be successful in politics, you have to have a sordid background of some kind, because
fair enough.
Nobody's going to trust a perfect person because that person doesn't exist, Josh.
Absolutely, George.
Groundbreaking news, breaking news. There is no perfect human being. Awesome. Well, nice work. Congratulations. You got me, Josh. What is top of mind for you right now?
You know, actually, it kind of goes with what we're talking about right now. So, you know, I was buttoned up for a very long time. I've my career for the longest time has been in finance. I was the guy that, you know, full shaven, you know, I used to have a beard down to here until a couple months ago, but full shaven, three piece suit, living in the best suburbs, like the life was together, the Instagram perfect family. I mean, all the things, right? And I think that's what's always on my mind, especially when we get into conversations like this, because you would hear those two truths and a lie and you're like, well, he doesn't seem like that type. Well, that's because I went through a divorce. And that kind of just changed my whole perspective on everything. It helped me re-engage with who I actually am as an individual. And what I realized, divorce isn't just paperwork. It's your life breaking apart. Have you ever been through a divorce, George?
My folks divorced when I was five.
Okay. So you saw that firsthand. Yeah. So you have been through a divorce then. Yes, I would say, even though you weren't divorced from a spouse, you've definitely been through a divorce. My youngest was pretty little when we went through ours. And one of my children was probably around five by the time we went through ours as well. And it was an opportunity for me, for my identity to just break down, for me to try to figure out who am I? Kind of that, you know, I don't know. I picture some actor in some comedic sense just sitting around, who am, you know, that sort of thing, right? And that was the time when after I first reacted, just going kind of nuts, you know, just doing a lot of crazy things like the Elvis thing, right? And then I sorted through it and I was like, well, you know what? There's a lot of men specifically that are going through this stuff that don't know who to talk to about it. And they don't really know how to relook at their identity. And I'm not saying that women don't. I work with a lot of women. I coach a lot of women, just like I coach a lot of men. But the big difference in my eyes is that in general, I think society is a bit more open to women getting help with things like this, whether it is therapy or group talk or just even having conversations online or anywhere else. It just seems, generally speaking, that society is a little bit more open to a woman saying, hey, I need assistance with this. I need help with this. How do I move forward? How do I become the best version of myself? And men are kind of just taught, at least from a young age, from my experience, as like, well, just grin and bear it, get back up on your horse after you fall off, pick yourself up by your bootstraps, whatever ideology, terminology, saying you want to say. And that was me. I mean, I had this picture perfect life, like the buttoned up finance guy, think Wolf of Wall Street or anything else without maybe some of the craziness. And I didn't know where to turn. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know. I was anti-therapy. I was like, therapy's stupid. That was the family I grew up in. I don't believe that anymore. I was like, I don't know who to talk to. My church had, I felt, abandoned me at that point. So I didn't feel like I could talk to them. All of my friends were similar to me. And all of us were putting on kind of this suburban facade that we're all doing well. So I was like, I don't know where to go to like really get honesty, to get authenticity, to get help. And that when I finally was able to settle myself from all the things I wanted to experience, it was finally at that moment where I realized, well, that's my mission. That's it. My mission in life is to help people that have gone through big transitions like divorce and be able to help coach them through that to become the best version of themselves possible. And, you know, historically I've done that with money, being in finance, but it's not just money. Money's one of the things, but it's probably the least important, to be honest with you. Because everything flows into that, right? Mindset, life, who I am, what my mission is, what my vision is. So I think that's what's on my mind today, for sure.
Well, that is a lot. I totally agree. It's an interesting, and I don't know that exploring or spending a ton of time thinking about why it is that men don't necessarily feel like there's a space or that there is a space. It just kind of is what it is. And that you identified that. And then through your own experience, I said, you know what, this is terrible. I'm sure that your divorce was an awful experience, but it's also an opportunity to take things down to the studs and say, okay, who am I? And let's actually pursue figuring out who I am as an authentic person and having a roadmap for that or the support network, both of those things, I think is so key because it's not obvious how I would even engage in that without some guidance.
For sure. And I think this is true from my experience with many, many people I've talked to over the years. It seems that most traumatic events, whether you want to call it a divorce or somebody having a health incident or cancer or an injury or whatever it is, whatever you want to call that, we all define our own trauma, right? So I can't define somebody else's trauma. But whatever that traumatic event is, let's say it's the most difficult, worst thing the person's ever gone through in their life. From my experience, that always produces the best experience of somebody's life. If they are aware, they pay attention, and then they do something about it. Because like I said, with my own life, I went through my divorce and kind of being this buttoned up person my entire life. I didn't really rebel a whole lot in my life. I didn't really experience a lot of new things. So I decided to. You know, I decided to do the sex, the drugs, the rock and roll, the partying, the everything in my mid 30s with money, which is bad news, by the way. You should do it when you're like 17, don't have any money. You get into less trouble. Trust me. Because when you can start buying all the things, you get into more trouble. So I did that. And I think it was needed for me at the time, especially to see that it was all completely meaningless and worthless and fruitless. But to be able to come out of that and realize, oh, I know why I did that now. Because I didn't know how to manage my emotions. I didn't know how to actually deal with what was going on inside of me. And I didn't want to just, you know, I think like most guys, I didn't want to just like sit around and talk about my feelings and lay on a couch and, you know, go to therapy and I just didn't want to do all those things. So I decided to take it out in other ways. And now that I've been through that with that unique experience, especially the unique experience of finances too, I think I have a very unique way of being able to coach people in general. Be able to say, hey, here, like after coaching hundreds of people now at this point, here are the things that I see. I even wrote a book last year called The 5 Divorce Traps. And it talks specifically about the 5 things that I see that everybody going through a divorce maybe misses or minimizes or dismisses or whatever word you want to use. And I've seen it through so many different people that even people a year, 5, 10 years down the road are still dealing with some of these things. So I found that to be helpful.
Well, that's a lot of really powerful stuff. Thank you for sharing that. I think that the Amish have this tradition, I think it's called Rumspringer, where young people have the ability to go out and leave the community and go drink or do drugs or whatever. And 9 times out of 10, they always come back because they experience that they sort of get it out of their system. And I think in a lot of ways, guys need to do that. Maybe women need to do that too. I just know that, that I certainly had to. So I appreciate what you're talking about.
Well, I can speak from experience, not experience of being a woman. I've never been a woman before, but I can speak of experience of women that I've coached. And every single man and woman that I've coached does the same thing. They just do it in different ways. Usually men act out or experience life, however you want to call it, in a different way than women do. Not always. There's just more of kind of a masculine way of doing it and a feminine way of doing it. And sometimes it's the same. Like women that are more masculine sometimes will act out in the way that men that are more masculine act out, right? And vice versa. So I think we all do it. I've just noticed that the way we do it sometimes is different. Like a lot of the times men, or especially more masculine men or masculine women, do it in actions of, hey, I'm going to, And it might be healthy things. It might be working out, or it might be work, right? Or it mm-hmm. might be unhealthy things like drugs and alcohol and sex and those sort of things. And from my experience, if you're more masculine, you usually do it in some sort of action like that, that's related to, I don't know, something like some sort of substance, whether you want to call work a substance or working out a substance or drugs or alcohol, et cetera. It seems like, again, for the most part, more feminine people, men or women, tend to do it more relationally. So it might be going from relationship to relationship to relationship, or it might be going online to get feedback or to get validation in a relational way, or it might be signing up for, you know, OnlyFans or anything else in order to get more validation in that relational way. That's what I've noticed. So this is not true for every man and every woman, but I would say people that are more masculine tend to do it more substantive, and then people that are feminine seem to do it more relationally.
I think that's really good insight. So I wrote down vanity, and I wonder if you can look at it from a guy's perspective of who am I to want to bother other people with my problems? Who am I to think that my problems deserve, you know, to talk it out or anything like that? And there are people that have gone through way worse than me.
True. So was that a question?
Not sure.
I think it's an excellent statement. I think it's very true. You know, George, I talk about this a lot, and I'll bring it up again. And it's not something that I ever like bringing up, but I think it's important to bring it up. The highest suicide rate is 35 to 50-year-old men. Why? I don't know if I know the answer, but I have an opinion on the answer. My opinion is, men in that age demographic, which both of us are, right? You're in that demographic as well, right? Because mm-hmm. I think we're pretty close in age. So men in this demographic, I think that there's an expectation that we kind of have our life figured out, quote unquote, right? Like we have the family, we have the career, we have the whatever, we have the fill in the blank, we have the car, the house, the whatever, right? And when all of a sudden that explodes, and it doesn't have to be through divorce, it could be through a business failure or something else. When that explodes and our identity is hit, like as an example for myself, when I went through divorce, my identity, my primary identity in life was as a husband and a father. My job came very, very third for me. That's not true for every man. Plenty of men, the job comes first and then the husband and the father, right? It doesn't matter what the order is, but for me, my whole identity was shaken because not only was I going through this divorce, this very contentious divorce with this woman that now all of a sudden hated me after we've been together for so long. But then also I was failing at my business. And then I also felt like I was failing as a dad. I didn't have as much time with my kids. I wasn't able to be there for them. So all of a sudden those top three things, I was like, wow, I just suck. It's just massive amount of shame and everything else, feeling like everything was my fault. And honestly, if I didn't have kids, George, I don't know if I could promise that I'd be here today. Because that just, I thought my life was over. Men specifically, of course it happens with women as well, but just going back to the suicide rates, men specifically go through the same thing, whether that is their role as a husband, their role as a father, their role as a businessman, whatever that role is. And I think because there's this sense that we can't talk about it, or we can't be open about it, or we can't go to like victim support groups or therapy or some of this other stuff, even if that's just self-imposed, some guys unfortunately get to a point where they're like, yeah, it's not worth it anymore. And unfortunately, I've known many men in my own life that have chosen that path over my entire life now at 42 years old. And it's extremely sad. And it's a very easy fix. It's simple. It's not easy. The mindset's not easy to change at all, but it is simple.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I talk a lot about in my books, because I have a really big passion for men like this. There is a friend of mine told me the other day, he said, I would not be here if it wasn't for the conversations we've had together. I was like, wow, that's heavy. And then you got to be careful with comments like that too, to think that somehow you're somebody's savior, or that somehow you are the reason. Like I don't take credit for that. He said that, not me. I don't take credit for that. I think there's other things in his life that have helped him to be here. I don't think it's fully because of me. I'm not his savior. But for me to be a small portion of that, that's huge. It's huge. And so many people, especially going through divorce, man, like there's just so many things you don't know until you've gone through it yourself. Like a buddy of mine went through one, you know, 5-6 years before I went through mine. And he was my best friend. He's still one of my best friends on the planet. And I was there for him as much as I could be. But after I went through my divorce, I went back and apologized to him. And I said, dude, I'm sorry, bro. Like I was not. And he quickly corrected me. He's like, you were there. You were there in the way that you knew how to be there. You just didn't know how to be there. It's kind of like, do you have kids, George?
Yes.
Okay. So remember that time of your life when you were young and you like, maybe you got a dog or maybe just all your friends got a dog and you're like, yeah, I know how what it's like having kids. I have a dog. Come on. Right. That's like saying, I know what it's like going through divorce without going through divorce. You just don't. It's like somebody saying, I know what it's like to have cancer that's never had cancer. Like, I would never say that. I've never had cancer. I don't know what it's like. A really good friend of mine did. She went through it and she was, sounds like insanely brave when she went through it. She went through it before I knew her. Right. And I think that's amazing, but I would never imagine that I know how to pretend like what that's like. It's the same thing with divorce. So honestly, for people listening too, they've never been through it, but you have friends that are, because divorce is very prevalent. Just be present. That's my biggest advice. Just be present and initiate communication with them. Initiate. Because what most people do when somebody's going through a hard time is they back off and they say, okay, this person just needs space and they need to figure out their stuff. That's the opposite of what they usually need. What they usually want, trust me, if you were able to survey 100 guys that were 40 years old right now that were thinking about killing themselves, and you surveyed them with what they wanted most, guaranteed the answer would be communication and connection from people that cared about them. That's it. I've been to many memorial services of men that have done this where there's 200 people show up. And I'm like, if this person could still be here and see that 200 people love and support him, maybe this wouldn't have happened. So sorry, I'm getting a little emotional about this because it hits me so hard, but I'm not always talking to people that are just like about ready to do that. I'm usually talking to people that you'd have no idea are even there in their head whatsoever. It's the successful business guy. It's the successful wife, mom, businesswoman, whatever, right? It's the ones that like appear to have things together and are doing well. Those are usually the ones that are the ones that really need some help. They just need somebody to be authentic with, to be true with.
Well, that's all. I think it's all 100% true and really powerful. It's 35 to 50. That's the age range of suicide.
I believe so.
That's really interesting. I mean, I can certainly, when I was 35, that's when I sort of discovered the work, for lack of a better term, of just getting to know myself. And it stemmed from a lot of feelings of unworthiness, even though from the outside looking in, probably everybody would think, oh, wow, this guy's got the world by the tail, kind of like you're describing. But I felt wholly unworthy of most everything in my life. And so I didn't want to feel that way anymore. And so fortunately, I was able to discover, and I'm 47 years old today. So I'm at the far end of that. And I'm still doing this work more so maybe than ever. And so I share that just to let everybody know that, you know, it's for you. You are worthy and deserving of the life that you want, and feeling how you are and discovering the real authentic version of you and then living that version. But we're not entitled to it. So we actually need to do the work. So that's why it's so valuable what you're doing and having these kinds of conversations, because it does make it, it just allows people to say, you could be comfortable raising your hand or starting to talk about squishy stuff that maybe you never would before, because there's plenty of guys, in fact, all of us and the most successful people among us are doing this kind of work. So I very much appreciate it.
I appreciate that. And also, just to be really clear, I'm not a therapist. I don't do therapy. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to go back and help somebody look at their childhood trauma and bring them forward. I don't know how to do that. There's plenty of good therapists out there, and there's even more worse therapists out there. So be very selective when you choose the therapist. I'm a coach. I'm the guy that's like, okay, here's where we are at today. How do we move forward? How do we actually make what's happened to you missional in your life? Because that was the piece I didn't have, which is why I just went off the deep end after my divorce and decided to go crazy. And then I had kind of one of these, I call them spiritual awakenings, whether you're religious or not. I think we all have spiritual awakenings. It's just kind of that moment where you sit around and you're like, what am I doing with my life? Like, who am I? Why am I doing this? And I was right in the middle of a really bad drug trip, to be honest, when this happened, just to be totally forthright with you. And I was tripping my balls off. And then all of a sudden I just had this moment of clarity of like, this isn't you. Is this really what you want to take all of your experience and all of your life and everything that you've gone through? Is this what it's for? Is it just to be able to sit around and absolutely not impact anyone else on the planet? And my answer was immediately no. And then I never did that stuff again, which was really cool.
Those moments where it sort of realize, is this it? Is this the body I want to bring with me into the next stage of my life? Is this the financial situation that I want to bring with me? Are these the relationships? Ask that question and sit in it for a little bit. I know that I have, and I appreciate you sharing that. So,
thank you.
Well, Josh, these have all been a lot of difference-making tips, but we are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for us?
A difference-making tip. I think so. I think when life comes at us, one of the things that I can do a lot, and I've seen a lot of other people do, so I think maybe this is helpful to people, is to pause and analyze, maybe I don't want to say that, just observe the state I'm in. So in other words, am I calm and collected and confident right now? Which are three of the eight C's, which they say are your internal self. If you look up the eight C's of self, it's kind of interesting. Am I calm and confident and collected right now, and therefore making this out of my true nature? Or am I reactive? Am I reacting? Is there some sort of emotion that's hitting this? And for myself, a lot of the times I just need to pause and then get in that state. Or maybe write the email, but don't send it. Maybe think about how I want to respond to something, but don't send it. Maybe take a note for it. Maybe take all that information and put it in ChatGPT to help calm me down with a different tone than whatever tone I'm in, right? For me, it's very missional. Like my mission, I'm a very intense, animated Italian. Like I use my hands a lot, right? So this is difficult for me. This does not come naturally, but it is who I am. And I can be emotive in a way that's not reactive. Does that make sense?
It does.
So I think for me, it's just, I would say the tip is when you feel something rising up, take a moment, take a breath, go for a walk, move your body. That's the key. Physiology is number one. Just move your body in some way. Do a push-up, do a jumping jack, do a walk, something. Calm yourself, get collected, and then realize how to respond to something versus being reactive.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on. So much wisdom there, man. Just take a pause, move your body a little bit, and then fire off that crappy email to that jerk that you've been waiting to email, or don't. Thank you. Well, Josh, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they connect with you? Where can they get their copy of The Gospel of an Ex-Derelict?
Oh, great question. So a couple things. There's two books. So either one that might be interesting to you. There's Avoid the Five Divorce Traps, which I would say is specifically for people either going through a divorce, about to go through a divorce, or have gone through a divorce. I would say even in the last 5 years. It's still going to apply to you. That one right now is on sale for only $7. And I wanted to offer for your show that if somebody goes and buys it, there's a bonuses that I'm going to give them specifically that I won't give anybody else. So you're going to get the ex-derelict playbook for free, 5 habits to rebuild your life. Okay. So for that one, you can go to divorcetrapsbook.com. Divorcetrapsbook.com. And if you want to find out more about the other book, go to xderelict.com/book.
Excellent. And yep. This is that EX or letter X derelict?
EX. Yeah. EXderelict.com/book. And that's the same website. You can find all my socials and every information about me and all that sort of stuff.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Josh your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Pick up your copy of Avoid the 5 Divorce Traps. If you are anywhere within 5 years of divorce, because there are opportunities to be more thoughtful, to do good plan, to prepare yourself, because as you go through that awful process, you're going to have to come out the other side of it. So you might as well position yourself for success and then go to xderelict.com/book and check out all the great resources. And the other website was divorcetrapsbook.com. I think I got those. And I'll certainly put all of those in the notes of the show as well. Well, Josh, I appreciate your work. I appreciate you coming on and telling a little bit of your story and giving us all this insight. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. And I'm going to send you that picture of me and Johnny Cash.
Yes. So. Yes. Yes. Perfect.
That'll be there for as well.
Love it. All right.
Thanks for having me, George. Appreciate you, man.
For sure. Finally, friendly reminder, there's never going to be anybody more interested in your financial success or just your general success than you are. So act accordingly.